The number of oaks in the Midwest has been declining, and today we're going to take a look at why that is and what we can do about it. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Our guests are part of an effort to help manage oaks in the state and restore their numbers. In the studio with me today, Tricia Gorby-Canute, the Senior Implementation Manager for the Next Generation Project at UW Extension. And Tricia, welcome to the show.
Hi, nice to be here.
With us as well, Brad Hutnick. Brad is a forest community ecologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. And Brad, great to have you with us as well.
Good to be here as well.
We'll talk about the benefits of oaks, how we can help increase their numbers, and maybe about your own oak trees. Are you concerned about the decline of oaks on your property or in your community? What questions do you have about making your woodlot oak-friendly? I hope you'll give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. And Tricia, first, maybe you could tell us about the Next Generation Project and what it has to do with oak management.
Well, thank you, Larry. So I'm now with UW Extension with the Next Generation Project, and that's more about the reorganization of UW Cooperative Extension. So it's a shift in role for me. Mostly the oak is related to my work when I was with the Wisconsin DNR as a research social scientist as well, and worked with friends like colleagues like Brad and others with the DNR, and then also worked with UW Extension when I worked with Brett Shaw here at UW Extension on the oak work as well. So the oak comes from my previous work, and so that's where a lot of this conversation is going to stem from.
Yeah, and Brett, of course, is a colleague of mine in the Department of Life Sciences Communication. So that next generation, that whole project is really involved in saving the oaks, or trying to save.
Well, the next gen is all really about the reorganization of cooperative extension.
Gotcha.
So the project, I apologize, that has, my title now is different than what it had been as we're talking about the oak. So when we talk about the oak, really that has a lot to do with what we were working with Brett Shaw, and then again back with the DNR. So, and also Larry, also with that video, we're going to get a chance to talk with you about.
Yeah, and Brad, you're a silviculturist.
Yep.
And talk about what that is and what you do.
Sure. So it's a great question. So I work as a silviculturist, forest ecologist with the Department of Natural Resources. My family will ask me, what is a silviculturist? And sometimes you have to make up an answer. But basically, what we're doing is looking at the nuts and bolts behind what we do in forestry. So when we want to manage for a particular species or a particular cover type, we want to know what systems work best in order to regenerate those or to perpetuate them or do a whole host of other things. And so we're kind of the nuts and bolts behind our foresters in the field.
You know, I'm thinking back a couple of years ago, there was a person who wrote a book on the March of the Oak Trees across Europe, and it was a fascinating book. I really, really enjoyed reading it and having that person on the show to talk about it. What's the history of oak trees here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, so, you know, oak play a really critical role in the history of Wisconsin. At settlement, we would have seen maybe differences in composition and differences in what our forests look like, but the keystone species across southern Wisconsin, parts of central Wisconsin, and even in parts of northern Wisconsin would have been oak. It kind of held these natural communities together. And you can think of it running all the way from oak savannas, where there were very few trees in an area with a lot of grass, to where you had closed oak forests. And so they became important for a number of different, economically. It's still the red oak is still the species with the third highest volume of for a tree species in Wisconsin. So it's still critically important. But other people, and I think Aldo Leopold and others, recognize that there's also, it plays a critical role in land health for both people and natural communities in kind of perpetuating them and making them actually run as a system.
So that land health, when you talk about health, what are you really getting at?
Well, so this isn't necessarily something like when we think about forest health, right? So we're talking about insects and things like that. Maybe this is more of a Leopold term. Thinking about Sand County Almanac, thinking about the AB cleavage that he talked about, if you recall that part in there. where he talked about some people wanting to look specifically at just the economic value and other people seeing the other amenities that come along with the species and what we do in forestry.
Yeah, maybe we can talk a little more about the ecology of why oaks are important to the ecology of Wisconsin.
So I'll jump in here, too. So the oaks, when we think about the history of oak, we have thousands of years of oak being a dominant species and group on the landscape. We have a lot of wildlife, insects that have been adapted to oak over time. And so we see that as oak has shifted, we've shifted away from oak, there's concern that we're going to lose also the kind of wildlife and plants and animals that all are really associated with oak. And so oak is, we think of oak from the acorns. So when you ask people about what do they think about oak, the first thing that comes to mind is often acorns. Acorns is really a staple for a lot of wildlife. When we think about deer, turkey. We also have songbirds that are really dependent upon the conditions that oak create in our woodlands. And so really we consider it a keystone species.
Yeah. And some economically, there's some importance associated with oak trees as well.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's maybe the given, you know, from pulp and paper all the way through all the sawn products we have here in Wisconsin. It's critically important. I mean, sometimes it sneaks up on you how important they are. If you're drinking wine, if you're drinking whiskey, you're basically drinking something that came from an oak barrel. And oftentimes the white oak staves for those came from, or at least can come from, oaks that germinated as seeds here in Wisconsin.
As a matter of fact, Wallersheim Winery, I was talking with the owners of that, and they use Wisconsin oak trees, the oaks, in their barrels.
Mm-hmm.
And are proud to be able to say they do that.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it really is. And that's a holdover. There were a lot more even barrels being made in Wisconsin and from our oaks in the past. And so that's something we're seeing even interest in growing.
Well, let's take a call. By the way, you can join in too, 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Tom in Appleton up with a comment or question. Hi, Tom. Thanks for calling.
I'm taking it kind of in the other direction. I think the Maple Beach hemlock forest type is the threatened type in Wisconsin as temperatures rise, and that oak hickory is going to do just fine. I know maples are growing in those woods now, and that makes some people mad, but as time goes on, maple hickory or oak hickory is the type that's not going to have a problem as it warms up, and it's the northern forest type that is threatened in the state.
Yeah.
And I'll listen on the radio.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling.
Yep.
And Kevin, you want to talk? Yeah, take
it's a good point. You know, when we talk about things, if you look at projections for species and habitat suitability over the next century, oak should actually do well. And oak as a group of tree species is actually at the northern end of basically a southern range. So when we talk about the tension zone in Wisconsin, that more or less is where the southern oaks kind of run up against northern forests. Mm-hmm. And so as potentially that range shifts to the north, it should be good for oak. The catch 22 is getting from here to there. And so right now we have lots of issues where we have older oak. We have a bubble of oak we're living in. We have 40 to 80 year old oak that dominate the landscape, but we don't have a lot of young oak. And so if we expect to see these oak persisting into the future, we're going to need some regeneration now. And that's where maybe our real problem is.
Yeah, and I often comment that people, when we think about oak, we often look up. We see our canopy of oak and our majestic oak, and we sometimes forget to look down. And what we've seen from past research is that we're not seeing those young oaks. We're not seeing the saplings and young oaks really thriving. And so that's where we're concerned about that future of oak.
Yeah. Why is that the case? Do we have some ideas about that?
So the last caller kind of mentioned it. So without the disturbance that kind of gave oak the upper hand in the past, so thinking about something like fire, it lets a lot of other species live in our woods. And so you can think about ironwood and buckthorn and honeysuckle and all these things that really crowd and shade out the understory. So they can be a real problem. Deer, where they're locally abundant, they're not locally abundant everywhere. You know, we know that from talking to people all over the state, that there are places where it's not a problem. But some places they are, and so we need to be careful about making sure that those levels aren't high enough that they actually eliminate oak regeneration there, too.
I can remember seeing an exclosure that was put in by a native tribe in central north, kind of north central Wisconsin. And it was amazing to see the difference in the forest within that exclosure, where no deer, for example, could get in, and the area around, outside of it. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and I was going to say with that, we talk about that those compiled concerns that we have, that it can make it much more costly or difficult to manage for oak than we had. So sometimes people wonder, why did we have so much oak to start with, and now why aren't we getting it? And so if we have these compiled concerns, including invasive species, it's going to be just more expensive and difficult to get to oak.
Harry in Cambridge, your turn. Thanks for calling. Hi.
Yeah, hi there. I have an older woods that is full of white oak, and I had some older, huge oaks. I don't know what they call them, but they're dying. And we had that flood back in, what, 06, 07? And a lot of my oaks are dying, I would say, because of that, but I didn't know if there's something we can do about it.
Yeah.
So that's a common occurrence. We get a lot of calls this time of the year about maybe oaks starting to brown up. This could be a number of different things. So it's really hard to say from here what could be killed, but we could give maybe some, what are some high probability things that might be killing oaks. So one, even though they're white oak, and even though you may have some other white oaks, because bur oak could persist at some of these sites as well, you could see long-term impacts of oak wilt. So that could be something that's happening. You could also have an oak decline. So if those trees kind of lost a lot of vigor through long-term flooding or something else that happened with them, that could be something too. I think in many of these situations, the best thing you can do is talk to, if you're outside of a city or outside of a village, call your local forestry. You can actually go to the DNR website or just Google forestry assistance locator, and you can basically get someone to come out or at least talk to someone about what might be happening there.
We'll talk some more about that. We'll take a quick look at the news and weather, and then we'll be back with our guests. Stay with us. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at preserving our Wisconsin oaks with two folks. Tricia Gorby-Canute, who is a previous role as a research scientist, social scientist with the Department of Natural Resources. She works now with UW Extension. Brad Hutnick, forest community ecologist with the Wisconsin DNR. So it's great to have them with us today to talk about what's being done to preserve our oak trees. Certainly you can join in, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Let's go back to the phones. Dwayne and Ashland, we'll give you a chance. Thanks for calling.
Wow, hey, thanks for taking my call, by golly. Listen, can you hear me all right?
Yeah, yes, we can.
Yep.
Okay, good. This is kind of a long question, but I moved up here 10 years ago from southeast Wisconsin, where there's, and I believe there are white oaks, them big, beautiful oaks down there. And I come up here, and I live in the Park Falls area, and there's nothing there. That's all conifer and stuff, and got maple and paperwood and stuff. And I get up to the Ashland area, and I see, I believe there are red oak, and there's an area up here where my friend lives in Iron River, and I think that's scrub oak, just like, it's like bushes of open area, but it's all scrub oak, I believe, if I'm correct with that.
Sure.
Is that the difference between the oaks? So the whites are down south and the reds are up here, and the whites are much larger?
You know, you're going to find white oak in southern Wisconsin and red oak in southern Wisconsin, and you'll find some in the northern part of the state too. But Brad, go ahead and talk about this.
Yeah, I would say that it's more or less right that you see a lot less white oak in northern Wisconsin. So you would expect to see white oak in southeast, southwestern, south central Wisconsin, reaching up along, you know, say the Mississippi, getting up into Pepin, Trempealeau, even north of that a little ways. But the numbers really drop off once you get into, it'll be much less common in parts of the north. It is interesting, though, you do see bur oak, occurring in southern Wisconsin, and then you do see it also occurring in wetter sites in northern Wisconsin. So they can occur in both places. As far as size go, there are a lot of really big northern red oak in Wisconsin, and there are a lot of really big white oak in Wisconsin too. But I would, in general, if you saw a tree in northern Wisconsin and it was a really big oak, chances are it's going to be a red oak.
And if you take a look at the leaves, you're going to find that's the quick way to, I think, isn't it, to identify the red versus the white?
Yeah, so if you know the bark, you can look at those and see some of the differences. The red oak's going to be a little platy. Black mm-hmm. oak will actually hold on to branches a lot longer. White oak will have more of a gray bark, rounded edges to the leaves versus the red oak having more of a sharp mm-hmm. points to the leaves.
And those scrub oaks that he was talking about?
So scrub oak is northern pin oak and black oak. And basically it's oak growing on just nutrient-poor, dry sites. And so they persist. I mean, they'll live in those sites. A lot of things, you know, jack pine, white pine, some of those other things will grow there. And it is a good point, too, that, you know, when we talk about oak in Wisconsin, it's a nuanced story wherever you are. So if you're in southern Wisconsin on maybe good soils, it's really hard to get oak back. But if you're in central Wisconsin, I grew up in Stevens Point right around that area. If you're in the sand, there's oak every place, and there'll always be oak every place on those sites just because there's not a lot of competition that's adapted to that kind of condition.
Yeah. Oh, excellent. Thank you so much for calling, Duane. Appreciate your call. Cheryl in Verona, your turn now. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Really great topic. We have 10 acres in Verona, and we have a couple oak stands. I believe it's white oak, just based on what you described, the leaves as being round, that aren't doing that well. And when I look, we have a few seedlings or saplings that are coming up on their own. But when I look around, everything is dominated now by black walnuts. They're everywhere, and to the point where they almost seem invasive. We cut them back just to keep it clear. But I'm wondering if we were to try to add oak to our acres, would we need to do something about the black walnuts? Will they dominate it?
Mm. So black walnut will affect a lot of species. If you're trying to grow apples with black walnut, or if you're trying to grow some of the other species, they'll really... there's an allelopathic kind of thing that happens where they'll basically kill competitors that live nearby. That doesn't happen with oak. They'll persist and live with oak. And in parts of southern Wisconsin, if you're in Iowa, Grant, Lafayette, there's some really good mixed black walnut and oak stands. So there shouldn't be a problem that way.
Okay.
What you might want to do is take a look at how dense those stands are and maybe some other things that might be leading to lower vigor. So older trees can be less vigorous, and they can, just like people, you know, we get old, we start to have problems that we don't have when we're young. So oaks can have that same thing happening. If you pack too many oaks into an acre, or, you know, if you have just a lot of competition, you'll start to see problems with it as well. And there could be some other, maybe oak wilt, maybe something else could be a problem in there too. But again, if you want someone to come out and specifically take a look at it, which I think is the way to go,
okay.
If you go to the forestry assistance locator, you can find the people who are contacts for your county, and you can ask them specifically about coming out to take a look at that.
And that's through the DNR website.
Correct.
And then we also have, I was just going to mention too, at the DNR website, there's the forest health team. And so there's you can find your forest health contact through the DNR website as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good information. Thanks. That explains a little bit about my apple trees.
Yeah.
And it'll explain a lot about your garden, especially if you raise tomatoes and whatnot. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye. Appreciate the call. You know, there's a video I had a hand in relating to the oaks and the oak trees. It's called Protecting the Future of Oak, and we have that video. Jill and her efficiency has put it up on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. But Tricia, do you want to talk about that video a little bit?
Yeah, thanks, Larry. Well, and thank you for helping out with the video since you did the voice for that. That was really kind and really fun. So again, I mentioned I worked with Brett Shaw at here at UW Extension on this project. And the work was really built upon our previous surveys of trying to understand what are some of the motivators as well as the barriers to getting landowners more interested and engaged in oak management. And so we understand that oak can be difficult, so we wanted to understand how to better communicate and find resources for landowners that they may need. So what we did was we developed a video that helps direct landowners, sort of attract attention and then direct landowners to resources. Now, the resources or information that you'll see at the end of the video is a link to My Wisconsin Woods. And I just want to mention mywisconsinwoods.org is the website you can go to. Now, you can find more information on oak. You can also find more information just generally about some questions you may have about your woodlands. It can connect you to others as well. Now, My Wisconsin Woods is really an effort that's a combined effort from the Wisconsin DNR, UW Extension, a variety of partners, up to about 20 partners, including the Aldo Leopold Foundation, Forest Service, American Forest Foundation, the Nature Conservancy, and even some of our wildlife groups as well that are also going to be helping advertise or communicate about this video and really see the importance of oak, including the National Wild Turkey Federation and Ruffed Grouse. So we see this collaboration around woodlands in Wisconsin, and mywisconsinwoods.org, you can find more information about that.
I think that video is really cute. I mean, it's a clever video. I mean, all I did was read the script that I had in front of me, but it's really cleverly done, and it's not a long piece by, I forget how long it is now.
Oh, just a couple minutes.
A couple minutes,
And we're pleased to have a graphic artist also as part of that, just help with the design of this and to capture just attention, and you'll see a little squirrel pop up in there. And so it's just kind of a fun video. Yeah.
Well, you can look at it. Go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. You can see it. I expect it's up on the DNR website.
Yeah, we have it. It's held at YouTube with UW Extension, and then you can find it off of your Facebook page. But also, if you Google that protecting the future of oaks and the YouTube, you'll be able to find it there.
Mm-hmm. Michael in Juneau, it's your turn. Hi, Michael. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. Our land in Juneau is in the DNR Land Management and Tree Farm Program. So we planted hundreds of oaks, and we're constantly fighting the trees that sprout the saplings, like the locust. I'll definitely be checking out those resources and having someone come out to the land. But I'm wondering if right now you could answer the question if diversity of species is important to fighting oak wilt. So if you see signs of oak wilt, should we be planting a variety of kinds of oak trees?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I think it's going to depend on where you are, and it might be other species besides oak as well. So as you know from kind of working in those areas, if you're in Juneau County, you might be in those sandy sites.
Yes.
Red oaks in particular, the ones are the ones that have the biggest problem with oak wilt. White oak can get oak wilt, but they persist a lot longer with it, and it'll be a much slower problem with them. So with them, they easily root graft within these sandy sites, these flat plains, and so you get it moving easily from one tree to the next. So over time, it won't help you right now, but over time, having a species mix. So if you're in a sandy site, thinking about maybe white pine or maybe mixing in some white oak to where they won't necessarily graft or some other things, I think that's a great idea.
Okay.
All right. Good luck. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And Doug in Trevor, up next. Hi, Doug. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Larry. Hey, your guest. Hey, my question, I had heard that oak trees can support up to 200 other species. Is that true?
I think it is.
Yeah, so what it's really talking about is being that keystone within the ecosystem. We do know that if you get an understory, and this is based on some research from a little further south, but if you get these mixed understories in an oak stand, say of something that can really do well in shade, think about red maples, sugar maple, things like that, a lot less light level gets, or lot less light gets to the ground, you can get 90% less species diversity just at the ground level. And then when you take that out to things like insects and birds and all the other species that are associated with these sites, I wouldn't doubt 200.
Yeah, and what's great about oak is that we have the architecture of the canopy. It lets light in. And so when you walk in an oak forest, which has heavy oak in the overstory, you'll still see these patches of light coming through, and that's what Brad's talking about. It supports these the plants underneath. It helps allow those to flourish. We also have the furrowed bark of oak, which is kind of is different than some other species. Mm-hmm. And then you get insects, and then we have songbirds that like to feed and on those insects in oak trees. So you get really a variety of species from up in the leaves down all the way to the forest floor.
Mm, interesting. Thank you so much, Doug. Bill in Elm Grove, it's your turn. Hi, Bill.
Hi there, Larry and your guests. Listen, we live in southeastern Wisconsin. We have this majestic oak tree behind us in a conservatory, and it died here a couple of years ago, a year or two ago. It died over a period of 2 years or so. And it's probably at least 200 years old because one of the neighboring trees got struck by lightning, and we counted the rings after they cut it up. So what would be the normal age limit on a tree like that, or what could cause this tree to die?
Yep. So there's a lot of things that can go into how long a tree would live. So if you think about trees persisting over long periods of time, they were here before us, right? So they were here at least for our ownership. And so after settlement, you can think about fires being both good and bad for oak in some situations, but they were probably grazed, and there was probably some kind of logging that went on wherever this tree was in the past. And so seeing the tree right now, oftentimes we don't get a real good view of what influenced that tree and what's happening with it. So sometimes the best looking trees in the world are hollow, and we find that out when we get them on the ground and we are taking a look at them. So trees can live a long time. Oaks, if you're working with white oak, you know, we have documented situations 600 years for white oak. On the other end of it, though, when you get into things like black oak, we were just talking about like some of the, in central Wisconsin on some of these sandier sites, you know, you can maximum longevity, you could get 200, but it's really common to see those trees blinking out at 60 or 70, even 80 years old. So there's a wide variety.
Now, Bruce Allison wrote a nice book. It's called Wisconsin's Champion Trees. Mm-hmm. And Bill, it might be a book you might want to look at because it talks about oaks for sure, because there are a lot of champion trees. And by champion, these are a couple hundred years mm-hmm. or older, with some great photos shot by Wolfgang Hoffman. And Bruce did a really nice job with that book. You might want to take a look at it. It's called Wisconsin's Champion Trees, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or just type in Bruce Allison, you'll find it for sure. And Bill, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Roger in Wanakee up next. Roger, hi.
Hello. There's a lady that called in with 10 acres and had poor oak. I was thinking about a residential area or new construction. There was a guy that built a house in a beautiful oak grove out by Wanakee. And the dump trucks went in and out, and the construction lumber trucks went in and out. They drove over the grove of oaks close to the oaks and killed almost all of them by driving over the roots.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and that's where having an urban forester, having an arborist involved in new construction, looking at whether you can, whether it makes sense to preserve the oaks you have or to plant new oaks, is really critical, I think, to developing with oaks in mind.
And you can find arborists online as well through the Arborist Association in Wisconsin.
So. Yeah, and Roger, that happens more fairly often. And the thing is, it doesn't kill the trees immediately. Usually right. It's a few years later that they start looking bad. And by that time, you've kind of forgotten about all those dump trucks that were compacting the soil around the roots.
And it's a good point about sometimes something like a drought or something like that can lead to a decline. Even in, we were talking about some trees earlier that were kind of dying, can be 3, 4, 5 years afterwards, you can get something like an insect called two-line chestnut borer, which will kind of come in and finally finish the tree off. So they kind of get knocked on their heels, and then something else will actually put them on the ground.
Yeah. Thanks again. David in Sparta, your turn. Hi, David.
Yeah, hey, how are you guys doing?
Great, appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Say, I've got a chunk of land down here in Monroe County, and we're working on a plan here, and we've got a ton of buckthorn, and we're struggling with the deer eating anything that is new growth and the buckthorn not allowing other vegetation to come through. What's the best way to tackle a pretty large growth of buckthorn across the property?
Yeah.
Well, how big an area? How many acres?
A little over 100.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So that's a good question, you know, because when you get into really big areas like that, it's going to be intensive, you know, and you're going to want to do something. I think the best thing you can do is what you're talking about, is basically removing this mid-story, you know, something lower than the canopy but above the ground layer that's intercepting light coming down. And so in your situation, it's buckthorn. You may want to look at some herbicides that you might not necessarily do a whole scale, like say broadcast spraying, but you might do some basal bark treatment. Maybe not treat the whole area all at once. If you've got the resources, coming in with a forestry mower, and there are some companies here in Wisconsin that do this for, can do it as a service, come in and actually grind up those trees, and then you can do some herbicide work afterwards. You can burn afterwards. You can do lots of different things to try and keep it in check.
And as Brad's mentioning, some of this work, there's mechanical, there's some chemical, and when we think about this, it can be expensive, and so there's different programs that you might want to look at. So Wisconsin has the Wisconsin Forest Landowner Grant Program, which can help provide cost share assistance for doing this kind of work. There's also the Natural Resource Conservation Service, NRCS, also has these programs for people just like you that have this size acreage and can have some cost share assistance to get it done, because it can be, especially at that scale, it's often something that it's harder to do just yourself, so you're going to need some assistance.
But you know what? It's worth doing.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, well, it absolutely is. What's on the negative side of doing a spraying of a herbicide, being on like the larger stands of the mature buckthorn, what's going to be harmed besides the buckthorn? What do I have to worry about there if I were to go that avenue?
A lot of it's painting the herbicide directly on the cut stump.
Yeah, it would be useful to know going into something like that, if you have any other, what the plants look like in the rest of the stand. So if you know the plants besides buckthorn and honeysuckle, you get a good idea about maybe grazing kind of resulted in this degraded stand you have right now. And so that your herbicide work, you really may be more concerned about not damaging the trees as opposed to not damaging a ground layer that's really good or you know, healthy, sustainable population of plants that should occur in a site like that.
So if you bring in a forester, a DNR forester, will come in actually at lower
no cost
to come and look at your land and can give you that information that... it sounds like you know a lot, but there's probably things you don't know that a DNR forester would know.
And, you know, it's really nice. DNR foresters have the benefit of seeing lots of land where in the area that you are. So they can see, you know, they have the benefit of going places that a lot of people don't get to go. So they get to see things and see those nuances in different forests that... it's almost like tasting wine. You know, you see someone who is really good at it, and they can tell you lots of different things, and you taste it, and you're like, I just get one thing. Well, they can do the same thing with the woods. They can basically look at it and get lots more out of it than most people can.
Good. Well, I'm more of a beer drinker, but I get what you're saying. and I do see a lot of the resources provided by the state, and it's great to have those things, and I'm definitely going to look into them.
All right. Thank you so much for calling. Well, we want to save our oaks, and we want to preserve them as much as we can. And just in the last minute, best places to go for more information.
Yeah, I did. I wanted to mention a couple other websites. One would be through UW Extension. So I mentioned first mywisconsinwoods.org. That's basically this group of organizations coming together. There's also woodlandinfo.org through UW Extension. You can find some classes like my... learn about your land classes through UW Extension's Natural Resource Educators. So that would be a good place to start as well. If you want some help with plant diseases, there's UW Plant Diseases Diagnostic Clinic. You'll want to Google that. And Brad, do you have any others that you want to mention?
I work as a part of a team of silviculture statewide with Colleen Matula in Ashland and Greg Edge in La Crosse. And I think what we've looked at recently is site assessment, kind of understanding what's happening. If you go into these sites, look at them honestly, a good place to do that is deerandforest.org, and you can get an idea about maybe there are other issues you need to think about.
All right. Well, it's been great having you with us. Thank you so much, Tricia.
Thanks,
and Brad. We'll get you back, and we'll do this again. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Tricia Garby-Knut and Brad Hutnick, our guests today, as we talk with them about preserving Wisconsin oaks. And you can go to our website, our Facebook page, at The Larry Mueller Show, and find out about all of those resources that they've been talking about. So, great to have you with us. Tomorrow at 11:45, we'll take a look at broadband access in Wisconsin and the impact on small businesses. That's tomorrow at 11:45. Hope you can join us for that. Stay with us. Lots more in store.